Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Very welcome to Liveline. And as you know, 51551, wash your hands is our number. By the way, we will, because for Irish, a lot of our listeners, judging by our phone calls and our texts and our emails, if Joe Biden wins, it will be a good news story for a lot of our listeners. Not for all of them, but for a lot of our listeners. So as it looks like the Joe Biden story is becoming more and more of a good news story, CNN, as we speak, which is the station du jour for the Liveline aficionados, of which there are many on our small team, but they are experts in this. CNN are, and this chap John King and his magic wall are the main revelation of this US general election, as they call it, presidential election. And that's 253 for Biden at the minute, which is 17 off the 270 electoral college votes that he needs. This is the analysis from the Liveline team at the moment. Arizona. Currently, Biden leads by 68,000 votes and he's trying to flip the state. There is 14% of the vote to count. There could be 450,000 outstanding ballots. These are mainly mail-in ballots, which will favour Biden. Many of the outstanding ballots are from major cities like Phoenix and Tucson. They favour Democrats. Highly likely that Biden will win this state. And interestingly enough, according to Fergus Sweeney, who is our expert on the team, Fox have already called this state for Biden. And Nevada has 6 electoral college votes. By the way, Arizona has 11. Remember, Joe Biden needs 17. Nevada, currently Biden leads by 7,000. He's trying to hold on to that state for the Democrats. 14% of the vote outstanding. There are about 200,000 outstanding votes, mainly mail-in ballots, which will favour Biden. Also, many of these outstanding votes are in Las Vegas and again favour the Democrats. If Biden gets Nevada and Arizona, he will have 270 and doesn't need any other state. Georgia has 16 electoral college votes. Trump leads by 18,000 to 96% of the vote counted, but Trump's lead has been narrowing. Yesterday, with 92% of the vote counted, Trump led by 100,000. There may be 90,000 outstanding votes, mostly mail-in ballots, which will favour Biden. Also, votes coming in from Atlanta are favouring Biden. Fergus Sweeney, who's a great sportsman, used to be a sports broadcaster on BBC before he lowered himself to become working as a producer on Liveline, does a brilliant job. Yesterday, he says, bookmakers had Georgia as a toss-up between both Trump and Biden, quoted at 5-6 to win, with Biden quoted at 5-6 to win. Today, Paddy Power has Biden at 4-9 and Trump at 13-8, meaning they think Biden is odds-on favourite. They're giving better odds to Trump, so they hope they will win more money. They will get more money off the punters. But they think Biden is odds-on favourite in Georgia. Pennsylvania, 20 electoral college votes, a Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Currently, Trump leads by 164,000 votes and 11% of the vote outstanding. There could be 500,000 votes outstanding. Yesterday, Trump led by over 600,000 with 75% of the count complete. A lot of the outstanding votes are mail-in ballots again. Also, votes coming from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia favour Biden with 25% of the count remaining. But our cephalologist, Fergus Sweeney, as I say, formerly senior producer and presenter on BBC, he's basically calling it for Joe Biden. So, as I say, for a lot of our listeners, that is a good news story unfolding. Apparently, it would unfold finally around 6 o'clock. Finally, with a small F and an even smaller font on the INALLY, because there's no finality when Donald Trump and Giuliani and all the crew head to the thousands of law courts in the 3,500 counties that are in the United States of America.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Back to the US election. Andy Silber. Andy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Andy, you say myself and my wife left the States to escape US politics and moved to Ireland 15 months ago.
That's right.
And what are you thinking? Are you thinking of moving back, Andy?
No, not really. when we moved, we sold our house in Seattle and moved here with the intention to stay here. We're all Irish citizens through my wife's grandfather from Donegal, and we're making a life here.
So what's your take on the election and the way it's split almost 50-50?
Oh, God. It's hard to imagine how, it's hard to express how disgusted I am. Trump is so horrible by any rational mind. I mean, his lying and his ineffectiveness and his corruption, and that half of Americans roughly voted for him leaves me just perplexed to what they were thinking. I can come up with theories, and they're all bad.
Well, give us some of them. Give us a, make an analogy with life, if you want, Andy. People can be torn between two lovers, for example. Or...
Well, sure, but I mean, the way I describe it is, it's like you have a friend you want to fix her up with two guys, and one is a little boring, and the other is covered in blood and waving a knife like he's off his meds, and she thinks the first guy's a little boring. Racism probably explains part of it. He certainly plays to that intentionally from the very beginning, when he was talking about Mexicans being rapists and murderers, to his support of the march of Nazis in the South, to his discounting of the Black Lives Matter movement. So racism is part of it. Part of it is just a sense, I think, that American democracy is broken. And a lot of people see both the Republicans and the Democrats not meeting their needs and looking after theirs. And Trump comes in and he says, I'm going to break the system. I'm not part of the system. I'm going to just throw it out and start from scratch. And that's what he's been doing, but it's not in a way that's better for anyone other than him. So, you know, in the old days, the Democrats were seen as sort of the party of labor. And they moved away from that over decades to be, you know, the party of Wall Street and Hollywood and people like me. And there's no one really representing blue-collar workers. The Republicans represent the oil and gas companies, and the Democrats represent...
Okay, there's your line has gone on me, Andy. Stay with us. Dennis McLaughlin. Dennis is in Buncrana in Donegal. But you're a U.S. citizen. Dennis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your participation. But, Dennis, I presume are you born in Donegal, so to speak?
No, I was born in the States. I was born just outside Chicago.
With this result, would you be prompted to go and live in the States?
Well, I've often thought about moving back to the States. I have a young son here. He's 5. And okay. I care a lot about this because... he's a U.S. citizen, and I hope for him to be able to have that opportunity or want to go to America. I have family in the States. I have a sister in Chicago and a brother in California, and they're feeling the effects of this upheaval of the last year or so, especially. And my main problem is that I was a Democrat believer my whole life. I followed the primaries I was following Bernie Sanders closely. Yeah. And like your other guest, you know, we get disillusioned about the U.S. government, and like he says, the system is broken. But his idea is to put the same guy who was in the system while it was broken, Joe Biden, like he was in the White House for 8 years. Like, why would he be expected to do anything different? And he, like most left-leaning Democrats these days, they are misinformed about the things Trump has done and the things he's intending to do, his policy decisions and his comments. Like, for instance, the comments about Mexicans being racist was totally misconstrued and clips of the argument shown to make him look like a racist. What he actually said was MS-13 were people traffickers and the coyotes moving children and women across the border for sex trafficking. Those were the people he was talking about. And if you look at the clips, if you look at the full clip of him speaking, that's very clear. The problem is people don't understand that because they don't know that. They only hear what CNN or MSNBC or CBS will show them. And the problem is they are misinformed, and I was misinformed until Bernie Sanders capitulated to the Democrats when he was cheated again, and I started asking my own questions, and I'll be honest with you, when the veil was lifted, I was disgusted what I found out.
So why is America so divided? You're obviously pro Donald Trump, but you're speaking in one sense as 50% of the American voters, at least. Why is America so divided down the middle, as Andy says, between two people who are polar opposites?
They're divided because they've been divided by the media and the establishment politicians, the career politicians. Trump, if you ever see any of Trump's rallies, they're the most unifying and happiest coalition of people from all races and all religions, and they're happy and they're delighted to be together. And Trump has done more for unity than he's ever done for division. And you'll be led to believe otherwise because he does fly in the face of the norms of Washington, D.C., and that bothers everybody in the political establishment. Now, as far as being divisive, Trump has done more for racial unity and more for the employment of minorities than any other president.
Mm-hmm. Does Andy want to reply to that, Andy Silber?
Sure, I'd be happy to. If you look at his rallies, it's a sea of white faces with a smattering of a few owners. And to say he's done more for racial unity, when black people are being killed by the police, rather than saying we need to do something that, he just attacks the people who protest police killing of unarmed black men. He certainly does. There is some truth to what the other gentleman was saying, that there is a political establishment that doesn't serve, that serves itself to a large extent. There is need for reform. There is need for change. There is a need for shakeup. Bernie Sanders was another example of that, that I thought had a much more positive vision of the world. Trump, yeah, wants to blow things up, but he doesn't have anything to replace it with. And the people he appoints are so incompetent that it's hard to imagine what he replace it with. I'll give one example, but there are many, is in the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. Obama picked a Nobel laureate physicist and then a professor from MIT, also a physicist. And Trump picked a very much an insider, Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, who wanted to abolish the Department of Energy and didn't even know what the Department of Energy did until after he got the job. And there are lots of examples. So even if you want to see change, and I do, Trump was the wrong vessel for that change.
Okay. Let me bring in Jennifer Lake. Jennifer, you left the USA in 2016 after Trump won the election, and you say you moved to Ireland. What do you see when you see your country now divided almost 50-50 between two completely different candidates?
I have to say, frankly, I'm completely shocked. I didn't think it was going to be a landslide victory, but the realization that 68 million people, including, it sounds like Dennis, think that anything Trump has done is for the good of the people is incredibly disappointing. So regardless of the outcome, for me, it's been a tremendous realization of where we are. And that's why I don't live in the U.S., because that's not a place I recognize. And the level of hatred and the encouragement of just racism and violence that Trump has brought, he's given people license to say whatever they want to say. There's no filter. I mean, that's exactly what he demonstrates on a daily basis with his tweets that he's, you know, spewing out. And, you know, it's really interesting to me that Dennis has a lot to say, but I'd love to see some facts on the fact that his gatherings are bringing people together. I mean, yeah, they're bringing people together that absolutely hate. They're throwing out minorities when they go to attend, trying to run
That's
Biden's bus off the road, and encouraging people, encouraging white supremacists. I mean, there's absolute data to support that. And I'm a finance person. I stick with the data and the facts. And for me, I'm just appalled at what's happening.
Dennis McLaughlin, do you want to come back in, Dennis?
I would love to. As far as your consideration of Trump hasn't done anything positive for any minorities, I'd like to say that he's the first president in 70 years that didn't invade a foreign country. He's had several peace deals signed in the Middle East over the last few months, which he's very, very little coverage, if any. There's almost 4 million jobs created since he was elected in America. The lowest employment rate before COVID in American history. He supports the African-American and Hispanic-American unemployment at the lowest level ever recorded. He signed the biggest package of tax cuts and reforms in history, which injected $300 billion into the U.S. economy. There's almost 3.9 million Americans have been lifted off food stamps since he was elected. He signed executive orders to combat human trafficking. And Trump was the one calling for more transparency in the election. And some calls for transparency. What's that?
His calls for transparency include stopping counting ballots in states where he's ahead.
He wanted to stop counting ballots that came in after the date or didn't have a correct postmark, which is totally standard. And there's a litany of flaws in the counting system. And Democrats have just, wait here, Democrats have just been told by the federal judge in Pennsylvania to stop contacting voters to tell them to correct their ballots, which is totally illegal.
No, that's totally illegal.
After the election.
No, you're allowed to correct your signature after the fact, and that's standard practice. I've actually done that one year.
And what do you mean?
Why did the federal judge?
They weren't allowed to do it. Well, Andy, what do you mean correct your signature?
So, with an absentee ballot, The Washington state has been voting by mail for a long time.
Okay.
Standard there. And sometimes when the signatures don't quite match, they flag them and they don't accept them, but you can sign an affidavit to get it corrected. And then there was a close election, and both the Democrats and Republicans went out to correct votes that they thought were likely to be on their side, and we'd go door-to-door and visit people whose ballots were rejected to get them accepted. And it's a standard thing to do in this situation. So why the judge denied it, I don't know. I haven't heard that story. If it's true, my guess is it's a Trump appointee.
But I'd love to go back on that one.
I'd also like to get back to the fact that you say that Donald Trump has done nothing positive for the economy and the American people, and he is the representative of blue-collar workers. He is the only president who's lost a net worth. He's gone down $50 million his net worth because he isn't in bed with the corporations and with the establishment media.
He's in bed with his own corporation.
He got rid of NAFTA.
All the Secret Service stays at his hotels. He's all for his own personal interests. That's what he suggested at one stage that
some people stay, some of the armed forces would stay at one of his hotels. He said it off the cuff. Another example of him not being a polished politician, which understandably bothers people, but it's an example of him being an actual human being and not a politician, career politician.
Dennis, if you're such a fan, you should move back to the U.S. I don't know what you're doing in Ireland.
Now, see, that's exactly the point. All you're doing is trying to denigrate personally anybody who would be a Trump supporter.
You just can't believe how somebody would possibly have a different opinion of you.
I thought exactly the same because I'm an Irish citizen. I'm absolutely entitled to be here.
Sounds like you're a U.S. citizen
or American
as well, right? You're
citizen. So I can go where I like, and it's none of your business or anybody else's where I decide to live. So I've made my choice personal to me. It's got nothing to do with Donald Trump. You made your decision politically.
Dennis, can you let someone else speak? Please, pipe down for a second there. So when you're
hold on a second, hold on a second. You've got plenty of time, and I'd like to say my piece, okay? You attacked personally the Trump supporters,
and you said
you can't believe how anybody would possibly support Trump, and you said racism is a big part of it, and that's totally absolute slander on Trump supporters, and we don't have a voice apart from people on social media who often get taken down anyway for voicing their political opinion. Now, you say that Trump didn't do anything for minorities. He's given a 10-year guarantee to historically black colleges, which Obama made them come back every year and beg for money. He gave them 10 years up front and says it's ridiculous that they would come back and have to ask every year. He's a history of helping black businesses starting off on their own before he was ever president. So he's got a history of being anything but racist. The racist brush.
Okay, Jennifer.
Thank you very much, Joe. He had a history of being sued by the Justice Department for not renting to blacks. That when blacks actually go to his housing project, they're told that there's no apartments available. So he was sued on two occasions by the Justice Department and had to settle that. So for you to say he has no background in being racist, and I don't know what you're talking about in terms of guaranteeing people the ability to go to, you know, predominantly minority you know, colleges, it seems like your data is really skewed. And to be touting how great the economy is doing in the face of COVID, we have a higher rate of unemployment than we've had. You know, it basically is the
everybody
highest
rate does.
Let Jennifer finish. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I don't know where you're getting your facts from, but they're incorrect. So I'd love to know your sources in order to fact check. I mean, it sounds like you're probably getting them from Trump.
The facts are there to be had. The funding wasn't for people to go to college. It was the funding was for support for historically black colleges. It was funding for the colleges, not for the students, but for the colleges to stay open.
Dennis, is there anyone or any party in Irish politics that you would support using the same analysis of being anti-establishment and outside the swamp or whatever the phrase?
I think the fact that we're looking at the American election and we're finding it so strange that it might be contested, or that a large percentage of the country would find it possibly not being valid or not being respected in the decision of the people. We just went through a terribly divisive election ourselves, where the two main parties were shown in no uncertain terms that they lost a large majority of their support. And they went back, reneged on their words that they would never go into politics with each other, they could never go in a coalition, and they would never work with each other. But that the minute that there was a chance that another party might have any kind of control in the country, they reneged on that and their best buddies, and now they're sharing the seat. So we're a perfect example how establishment government will do whatever it takes to protect their own, even if it's opposite parties. They will protect the establishment above the will of the people. And we're a good example of that, same as most Western
and
countries.
And who would you have supported in government here, at Dennis?
I voted Sinn Féin.
I never heard Sinn Féin or Sinn Féin say they wouldn't work with each other. I heard them say they wouldn't work with Sinn Féin, which they stuck by.
Well, you can find plenty of clips of Micheál Martin saying in no uncertain terms that he would not go into a coalition with Fine Gael because they are incompatible and they're just polar opposites. But that all changed once there was a chance of a separate coalition without them being involved.
Yeah. Well, there never was real. Actually, if they hadn't done that, it would have led to a new election. There was no other. The math didn't work out any other way. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is for others to judge, but.
But that means we'll go back to the people to decide again.
I agree. If we can, you know,
Catherine, let me bring. I want to bring Catherine Ryan in for a sec. Catherine, sorry for holding you there. Catherine, there was disagreement in your household about Donald Trump.
I suppose it wasn't terribly serious because it's something external to the house as such. My husband was very much pro-Trump for the last 4.5 years. I suppose he pushes really that Trump didn't cause any wars, I suppose, and the fact that he was able to stand up to North Korea, that was a good thing. Now, also, he didn't believe in the climate change as such. He just said that was something that was happening. And so my husband hadn't been well, you see. And I made a throwaway remark to him in January. February, I suppose, if somebody was supposed to get a COVID, I wouldn't mind if it was Donald Trump. So the poor Con, he was extremely upset about it, and he said that he'd never thought he'd hear such unkindness from me. And we agreed that we'd never speak about Trump again. But Con passed away on the 25th of March. He didn't have any problem with COVID and such. He had cancer and such. So I've kind of been watching CNN a good bit since. So in some ways, I suppose Trump was good that he was able to stand up to bullies in a way because he's a bit of a bully himself. But I never liked what he said about that it's, the Middle East was buying big, beautiful weapons for him. And Trump never used the word peace or love or unity, bringing people together. I just felt that he was so divisive. So I did send in the thing there about it.
Okay. And I say that was a household split over Donald Trump, unfortunately.
We agreed we wouldn't speak about
Trump.
You
agreed
again.
To disagree on that particular
issue.
Yeah,
we did.
Okay. When did your husband pass, Catherine?
He died on the 25th of March.
Oh, yeah, that's what. And did you say, but it wasn't COVID related?
He had cancer.
God rest him, Catherine. I'm going to. Thanks indeed. Dennis, Andy, and Jennifer are staying with us. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
and Joe at RT.ie, and we're talking to people who contact us about the election, some from the United States, some originally from the United States living here in Ireland. Sean Montgomery is in New York. Sean, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Why do you think America is split almost evenly 50-50 down, supporting two completely opposing, I won't say ideologies, because in one sense they're a very similar ideology, but two very different individuals, and when you get to culture and racism and different issues like that, there are perceived differences. Why is your country so divided, Sean?
Well, I'm originally from Dublin, Joe, so, you know, coming here and having the benefits of this country, it's a great place, but it's very surprising that everything is so divided, to be honest with you. But when I think about it, there's two things that are at play, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the economy and COVID-19.
Okay.
So people are getting different mixed messages on both of those, right? You hear Donald Trump saying the economy is roaring, everybody's making money, the stock market is roaring. But people don't realize the stock market is not the economy. The stock market is the performance of various companies, right? But if you go around and look at just regular streets or roads around here where people have businesses, you see restaurants that are closing. You see, you know, the lack of traffic into, you know, shopping centers, all that kind of stuff, because people are afraid of contracting COVID. Now, the reality is that if you solve that COVID problem, you solve the economic problem, because people are now available to contribute and to participate in an economy.
Yeah, but the two candidates, you couldn't have got a starker difference in terms of what both of them individually, so to speak, want to do about COVID. So people had had an absolute choice. And as it happened, they went 50-50. But when on the CNN exit poll, number one issue was the economy. I think it was close to 50% of voters said number one issue was economy. I think 18% said it was coronavirus. So it was the economy, to use that old phrase.
Well, that's what people are, you know, getting fed. I don't want to say that people are naive about things, but people listen to certain sources. They don't maybe give themselves an even view from various, you know, news outlets, various newspapers, right? But COVID is a problem. I mean, the facts are that people are dying. You know, they had 100,000 confirmed cases of COVID in the U.S. yesterday, right? Now,
100,000 per day, but there's over 8.5 million at this stage in total.
Yeah, it's over that. I mean, and it's almost 250,000, quarter million people are dead from COVID. And that doesn't really represent what the true COVID number is, right? Because certain deaths would be considered, you know, from other causes, but COVID could be the underlying, you know, challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have, you know, from my perspective, COVID is non-discriminatory, right? You have COVID in Ireland, right? And COVID has the same effect in Ireland as it does everywhere else. So why should a developed country like Ireland, and even some of the, you know, underdeveloped countries in the world, are taking drastic action against COVID? They're making the necessary, you know, attempt to address it. I mean, just wear a mask is a very simple thing to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a certain amount of people in the U.S. believe that, you know what, it's my right not to wear a mask.
And then, let me put that directly to Dennis McLaughlin in Bunkrana. Dennis, as a Trump supporter, what do you think of his performance on coronavirus and the pandemic?
Well, coronavirus obviously came out of nowhere, and it caught every government by surprise in every country. And everybody was obviously very worried about it at the beginning, and a lot of people still are now, and that's understandable. But the problem is the decision was taken out of everyone's hand and put into they were being dictated to by the government. Now, I understand we have to err on the side of caution at the beginning, and we agree with the lockdowns.
No, you can't say dictated to by the government. The government was...
You're right, and I don't mean to go down that road. But okay. What we're talking about is the American response to it, the American numbers and the testing. America is doing more testing than anybody else in the world. That's why the numbers are reflected higher. And it's the same around the world. When as more testing comes, you get more positive cases. Now, their fatality rate has dropped massively. And the reason they had so many high, the quarter million, which is absolutely tragic, a huge part of that was in cities, heavily dense, very dense cities that put all their elderly people into nursing homes, and they had terrible numbers in the nursing homes. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, was responsible for a lot of that. And they try and pin it all on Trump, but he didn't create the thing. He is only trying to deal with it same as everybody else. Now, the thing that Trump is doing, he's angling more for treatments like therapeutics rather than trying to lock down and eliminate the virus. So, and it's understandable. Now, time will tell whether who was right and who was wrong. Mm-hmm. But Europe did heavy lockdowns all over the place. The second run of lockdowns, now the second wave is going through Europe, and we're trying to lock down again. I believe Italy, Spain, I think France is at it too, and the people are outnumbered because their economies are shut down. There's more people dying from...
Yeah, but is it, Dennis, do you not find it interesting that all those different countries in Europe, as you say, are, by the way, very different political ideologies in terms of who the government are at the minute. But all of those countries are going into lockdown. So you're saying they're all wrong?
No, what I'm saying is that's the approach they took to begin with, the really heavy lockdown. And it's, and I'm not saying that in the fullness of time we'll know better, and I don't pretend to be a doctor or to know any more than anybody else. But what I see is the difference between the American, the Trump administration's angle as compared to the Democratic angle, and which reflects the angle that the Europeans are taking, is lockdown against lockdown to eliminate the virus versus working on therapeutics to try and
manage the virus. Surely everyone is working on therapeutes.
Absolutely they are.
But Joe, you have to do that at the same time. You know, these are things that you can do in parallel.
But you're going down streets that are closed and shops are closed. But the shops are closed because they were forced to close. Opening the economy, safely opening the economy. Now, I'm not saying just open it and forget about coronavirus. We obviously have to take it very seriously. But there has to be a middle ground. Taking
it very seriously is lockdown, isn't it?
But taking
you
it seriously...
Dennis, listen. You're saying that every country, like the various countries in Europe, which have dynamic economies and also have dynamic governments, you're saying that, you know, they're taking measures that are, yes, they're drastic, but their caseload is huge, right? But in the U.S., the caseload is huge, but they're not making the necessary common sense, just common sense approach to this problem, right? The Trump administration now says, well, Donald Trump on the stump says, we don't have COVID. It's over. It's around the corner. And now they want to, they're thinking about going with herd immunity, right? Sweden went with herd immunity, and they regretted that decision. It's a bad decision. You have to go with the science. And there are good scientists. The National Institute of Health, the Center for Disease Control, they're all independent agencies. They never get political, but Donald Trump turns them into political. And Joe, I'll make one more point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine this was the Ebola virus, right?
Yeah.
There were plans in place to address pandemics. If you go back, you can go onto YouTube. You can go back and see what George W. Bush, right, what he said about pandemics. He said that the largest threat to U.S. national security and world security is a pandemic. Go look it up. You'll see
it. I know. I've seen it. And Obama said it as well. Dennis, do you still think Donald Trump will win the election?
I'm worried about it, to be honest. The irregularities in the count has been just shocking. The exit polls compared to what the count's coming out is big discrepancies. The polls that were taken by the pollsters and by the media were so wildly wrong that these people have done it in 2016. And they did it again this year. So the first time you could say it was a mistake, an anomaly.
And a lot of the polls, in fairness, towards the end said it was going to be tight. You know, opinion polls are opinion polls. They are polls.
Of course.
They're not a general election, but they are polls.
Of course, but they're being, there were, there, it was the, but, it was
but,
the way
to,
they,
but to address my question, to address my question, do you think he will still win? He can still win.
He can still win.
No.
But the problem is going to be, there's going to be so much litigation from both sides that...
Well, the litigation so far is from the Trump side, led by Giuliani.
That's right. And if you look into the details of what's been happening in Pennsylvania and several states, again, we're not going to go down that hole now. But
yeah, I am looking into detail, and I am listening to a respected American commentator saying when Trump says votes are being dumped, when Giuliani says Joe Biden could have voted 60 times for all he knows, there's no evidence. There's no evidence.
There's none. Joe, there's none. There's no evidence of that.
And Dennis, just more bad news in one sense for you, in that Trump's lead in Pennsylvania has been falling as we're on air. And Pennsylvania, he was banking on that. But anyway, Jennifer, do you want to? I didn't let you in there for a while there. Jennifer Lake, who moved to Ireland after 2016. I presume you're happy that you moved to Ireland, as is Andy Silber. But
yes, very happy to be out of the States. And like I said, the results that I'm seeing, you know, make me even happier.
I
feel like I just have, you know, such a different opinion than Dennis, and I don't know where he's getting his facts from. But even going back to the level of racism that Trump has, calling
where
it the China virus.
From, not where I'm getting them from. I'm not getting them from CNN.
Dennis, you had plenty of time to speak. I'm sure you're getting them from Fox News, so I have no doubt, because clearly that's what it sounds like you're spewing. But for me, you know, I really look at the facts, and the fact that Trump is stating that the Democrats are going to steal the election. The election can't be stolen. You know, it's managed by process and procedures, and that's what I'm trusting in. There are people from both parties overseeing the vote counts. They're not hiding ballots. I want to go through the due process, and let's see what happens. I feel very, very confident that Biden is going to come out ahead of this.
Okay. I'm going to leave it at that. Jennifer Lake, Andy Silber, Dennis McLaughlin, Sean Montgomery, Catherine Ryan, and before that other caller as well. Thank you all. 51551, Marchand.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.